Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. Got to switch out of morning show mode and into Prayer Closet mode. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. That is the number to get your prayer requests to us. And remember, we always keep your requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you from getting prayer. You know, if something personal or, you know, you're struggling with your marriage and stuff, you know, just like want to broadcast that, but you still need prayer for it. Well, that's fine. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. God knows who you are. That's what matters. We just want to pray for you today. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have that we can come before you to celebrate you, to worship you, to delight ourselves in you, to know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us, and that you are there to meet our needs, to help us, to strengthen us, and that in you we can find hope and healing and strength and renewal. And so we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, Lord, this day, because you are indeed worthy of our praise, worthy of our adoration, worthy of all the glory that we give to you. So we celebrate you, we praise you, we give you glory this day, and pray it in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayers, we always like to get into the Word of God to get our hearts set and our minds set right, get ourselves focused for prayer. And we're going to be in the book of Luke today. But I was thinking about this because today is, of course, Fat Tuesday. And it's known as Fat Tuesday because today is supposed to be the day that, you know, you do all the stuff before you have to give it up for Lent. And the Lenten season, the 40 days leading up to Easter, many people and many traditions, many faith traditions, depending on what your Christian tribe is, you know, celebrate Lent usually by giving something up during that time. You know, some people give up pop or give up sugar or they give up candy or whatever, you know, things, coffee. I don't know why you do that, but some people do. But you give up something. You surrender something. It's like it's almost a form of fasting is really what it is, in preparation for Easter. And I grew up Baptist, so we didn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of talk of Lent in the Baptist church, at least Southern Baptist church I grew up in. And I don't remember people giving stuff. I kind of was aware of it because I had other friends who were that way. You know, we didn't really do much with that. But then, you know, I met my wife and she grew up Lutheran and they always gave up something for Lent. And she's like, well, what are you going to give up for Lent? I was like, oh, I never thought about it. So I've done it before. I've practiced that where I give something. Sometimes I don't. But it does have value. You know, there's value in giving that up and fasting and surrendering something for the Lord in preparation for the celebration of Easter. You know, that it reminds us that we celebrate Easter because there was sacrifice beforehand. And so we make a sacrifice to the Lord. And it got me thinking about these seasons that we go through. There's, you know, Ecclesiastes that says there's a time for every season. You know, a time for weeping and a time for laughing. And, you know, and in a sense, there's a time for feasting and a time for fasting. It doesn't say that in Ecclesiastes, but we see that in the Bible. And it got me thinking about this passage in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. It says, and they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. In those days they will fast. And he told them this parable. No one tears patch from a new garment and sews it into an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Jesus is getting criticized because his disciples aren't fasting. Now, fasting was a normal part of the Jewish faith. They would weekly, the Pharisees certainly would weekly fast, usually on a Wednesday, I think. And they would fast as every week as part of their religious devotion and practice. And so it was a common thing. And Jesus even assumed fasting. If you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about fasting and says, when you fast, you know, and gives instructions on how we're to fast. The obvious inference from that is that he had pretty much assumed that people would be fasting. He just took it for granted that we would be fasting. And so it is a part of our Christian life. It is a spiritual discipline, a valuable spiritual discipline. If you've never engaged in it, I would encourage you to try it. It can be quite powerful. God can move in many ways in fasting. So it is an important spiritual practice, important spiritual discipline that we practice in our faith. And yet Jesus' disciples were not doing it. Everybody else is doing it. John's disciples are fasting. The Pharisees are fasting. Everybody's fasting to grow closer to the Lord, to increase their prayers, to show their devotion to God, all these other reasons. But Jesus' disciples are not. And everyone's like, wait a minute, Jesus, if this is so important, I mean, we've heard you teach, you've heard said, when you fast, do this and do this. Why are you giving us instructions on fasting when you're not doing it and your disciples aren't doing it? What's going on? And Jesus' answer is simple, really, when you think about it. His answer is, it's not the time to fast. The bridegroom is with you. This is time for a party. And I think it's interesting that he uses the sense of the bridegroom and says, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? You know, when the marriage happens, and certainly that day when people got married, it was a week-long celebration. They would have a long party. I mean, it was a big deal. It's that people are celebrating that wedding and celebrating that union of the husband and wife. And Jesus is basically saying, well, if you're at the wedding, and the wedding has happened, and everybody's celebrating the marriage, that's not a time to be fasting. That's a time to be eating and feasting and celebrating. You fast when they leave, when the bridegroom's gone. That's the time for fasting. That there's a season for everything in our life. And one thing I kind of like about the Lenten season and Fat Tuesday and, you know, regardless of what the world's done with these things, is that they teach us that there are seasons for everything in our life. You know, today's Fat Tuesday, and so we get to eat punchkies and have king cake and, you know, eat all the stuff that we're going to have to give up for the next 40 days. And so it's a day we get to kind of celebrate and, you know, I'm not preaching hedonistic excess, but, you know, have a little extra. Have another donut or whatever. Knowing that tomorrow we will be giving those things up. So maybe you've decided, hey, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent, but today I'm going to eat some chocolate because I know I'm not going to have any for the next 40 days. So today I'm going to have some extra chocolate. Maybe instead of just one bar of chocolate, I'll have two. Maybe instead of, you know, one or two chocolate candies, I'll have three or four. I'm going to have a little extra today because I'm celebrating before I'm surrendering. You know, one of the things, one of the values in giving something up for Lent is that it teaches us the blessing of the things God gives to us, that we'll appreciate those things more after we've surrendered them to God. Maybe you love chocolate, or you love coffee, or you love this or that, that you've decided to give up. And it doesn't have to be food either. I mean, I've known people who fasted from playing video games, fasted from technology. You know, they're not going to get on their computers or their things for anything other than work reasons. You know, stuff like that. Anything, sometimes people give up things they feel like, well, this thing has too much control in my life and I need to give it up and surrender it to the Lord because I think it has too much control in my life. Sometimes we give it up just because I know this is something I enjoy and maybe it's time to surrender that to God. Knowing that when we give that thing up that we enjoy and love, in some ways it becomes more precious to us. And when we're allowed to take it back up again, we have greater joy and appreciation for the gift that God has given us. God didn't have to give us chocolate. This world could have run just fine without chocolate. It's not necessary for life. It's really not necessary for anything other than our good pleasure in it. But that's enough for God. Some things he gives us just for our pleasure, for us to enjoy, to delight in. And when we fast and give these things up, it reminds us of the blessing of these things. We come to it with a greater appreciation. It becomes something that's not just idly consumed, but genuinely enjoyed and given thanks for. And that when we have that time that we can feast and we can celebrate, that we can do so with gratitude in our hearts for what God has given to us. Gratitude in our hearts for the blessing that God has laid before us. With joy in our being, so that, you know, we can really, truly appreciate that thing. We can feast with joy. You know, sometimes we just idly consume stuff. You ever sat down and had a bag of chips and you just like popping chips in your mouth? The next thing you know, you're eating half the bag and you don't even realize it. You've just been popping them in your mouth. And you're not even almost aware that you're eating them. You're just like, you know, almost unconsciously just shoveling these chips in. Have you really enjoyed them? Have you really experienced them? I don't think you have, you know? I've done that before, and you realize, oh, I've eaten half a bag of chips, and it's like, I didn't even, you know, I mean, obviously you had them in your mouth, you tasted them, but you're like, you're not attending to it, really. You're not really thinking about it or appreciating it. And by fasting, it allows us to focus in on those things, and so when we take them back up again, when the Lord allows us to take them back up again, we can do it with gratitude, paying attention. We enjoy it more, because we're actually not just idly consuming it, but we're receiving it as a blessing. We're receiving it as a gift from God. And this is the value that fasting does for us. It teaches us that kind of gratitude, among other things. But it helps us to understand and see that these things are blessings from God's hand. And not just things to be idly consumed, but things for us to genuinely enjoy. And we should bless God in our enjoyment of them. And yes, God is blessed in our enjoyment of the good things he gives to us. You know, prior to we enjoy them properly. The other day I was mentioning my love for Heyer's Root Beer, but I couldn't find it anywhere. Never. I haven't had Heyer's Root Beer in like 20 years. And one of our listeners texted in and said, oh, I know where you can get Heyer's Root Beer. And I went out that day and I got some. Got a 12-pack of Heyer's Root Beer. Came home, had a glass. Oh, it's good. Oh, it was every bit as good as I remembered. It's been 20 years since I last had a Heyer's Root Beer. That first sip was marvelous. You know, a little trepidation because you're like, I really loved this when I was a kid, but I haven't had it in like 20 years. Am I still going to love it? Or am I going to be like, well, what's this the big deal about? But no, it was every bit as good as I remembered. And it was wonderful. You know, nothing like that first sip of Heyer's after 20 years of not having it. And now I have it, and it was marvelous. And you know what? In the enjoyment of that, you're kind of blessing God and worshiping God. Because if we receive these things with gratitude in our heart and thanksgiving to the Lord, our enjoyment of these things becomes an act of worship. Now, if I drank the whole 12-pack, I'm not sure that would have been an act of worship. I sat down and drank the whole thing. That would have been an excess, and that would have been too much. But I haven't. I've been doling them out carefully. One a day, one every other day, because it's kind of expensive, but they're really good. So it's been nice to have one here, have one there. And each time I have one, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing to God. And I think these are the things, these are the kinds of lessons that a Fat Tuesday and a Lenten season can teach us. The proper respect for things that God has given us. The proper enjoyment of the blessings that he's put into this world and the things he's put in this world for us to enjoy. But learning how to enjoy them properly in a way that gives glory to God. So that on a Fat Tuesday, we can feast and enjoy punchkis and celebrate them and celebrate a God who gives us such wonderful things that aren't necessary, but he gives them to us as gifts. While at the same time, during that Lenten season, reminding you that, you know, as we surrender those things to him sometimes, that there are seasons when we might not be feasting, when seasons when we're called to fast, that those are blessings too, because when we come back to enjoy those things that we've given up, we'll enjoy them even more. We'll have a greater appreciation for them, a greater understanding of where they come from and who gives them to us, and we'll be able to enjoy them in a way that gives glory to God and delights in him. And learn maybe along the way, too, that we don't need those things to have joy and delight. That God can give that to us just by himself. So enjoy this Fat Tuesday, but also celebrate that Lenten season. Whatever you may be giving up. Don't see it as so much a sacrifice as an act of worship and a reminder of God's good blessings in this world. It is the Prayer Closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And let's get into our requests. Have a prayer request in. The listener writes in, says, needs extra prayer for whether to leave current job or not. Her leaving would be hard for the people she serves. Lord, we do pray for this listener as they're faced with this choice and whether to leave this job, to go to a new opportunity or not. Obviously, pros and cons to both sides. So, Lord, we pray that you would grant them a discerning spirit to understand what your purpose and will is, and that they would have a clear understanding of what you are calling them to do. And they would step out in obedience, Lord. And if you are leading them to go into a new opportunity, Lord, that they would do that knowing that you're going to provide for those they're currently serving, and you'll take care of those people, and you'll take care of that situation. And you'll bring someone in to handle that, and so they can move with a clean conscience forward. Or, Lord, if you're calling them to stay, that they would stay with a joyful and glad heart. But whatever that call is, Lord, we pray that you would make it abundantly clear to them. Grant them that discerning spirit and heart to know your purpose and will, and that they would walk in that. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Remember, you can always get your prayer requests to us by emailing or texting us to prayer@yeshome.com. It's available to you 24 hours a day. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893, and someone here will be happy to pray with you. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the Chat Now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless everybody.